Joining me today for this special edition of Take Two is Becky Edwards, our final candidate we haven't talked to in the U.S. Senate race. Thanks so much for coming in.
Really happy to be here.
We are getting dangerously close. I think a lot of people's minds are not exactly on elections or primaries coming up because we're thinking about the end of school, but we're going to be getting those ballots in the mail in just a couple of weeks. So when we're getting to this point, what are you doing as a candidate to make sure that people remember we do have an election?
Well, I appreciate the kind of the opportunity to talk about it a little bit because we are 21 days from today. Ballots will start to drop in the mailboxes of registered Republicans. We have a automatic mail-in process here in Utah for voting. So that'll start in 21 days. And the actual election itself is in 41 days and 6 weeks. So it's an exciting time of the campaign. We are ramping up. We are in that final sprint, and we've had a lot of exciting things kind of roll out in the past little bit. We have TV ads and radio and digital billboards and everything we can do to get name recognition out there and share our message.
Excellent. Here we like to talk issues because we really want people to understand who they're voting for if they can't get out to a meeting and meet you in person. Talking about the events of the day right now, we're seeing the president in Buffalo, New York, where unfortunately we've had yet another mass shooting. 10 people are dead. Every time we have one and then there's a pause, we think, okay, maybe that'll be the end and we won't have to talk about this again. But it always seems to happen again. When we have something like this, as a candidate, are you thinking there's something that congressional candidates or members of the Senate or the House can actually do about this? Are there gun laws? Is hate speech a problem? Is mental health a problem? What do you focus on when you hear something like this?
You know, I think I start out by thinking of myself as a member of the broader community here in our country and how each one of us can play a part in prevention of these kinds of attacks. They're heartbreaking, and you're absolutely right. At the end of each one, we think, man, maybe this is the last. Maybe there's something unique that led to this and we won't see this again. But over and over we see that's not true. And I think it's going to take a comprehensive approach from all of us, looking at mental health supports, looking at the way we deal with hate speech and even, you know, earlier than that, forms of bullying and things our kids are experiencing in schools, what we can do as community members. And as a part of that, certainly we're looking at any type of legislation that could help with prevention and to really encourage firearm safety, because this is terribly heart-wrenching, and we're growing tired, I think, as a country, of sending our hopes and prayers out to people who need a whole lot more than that. They need action.
Do you believe that action should come in the form of more gun control?
I think we're looking at ways, sort of like the approach that Utah has taken. You know, I served for 10 years in the Utah House, and when we were talking about firearm safety, we really focused especially around the suicide prevention piece of this and how firearms are frequently part of completion of suicide, death by suicide for so many, especially vulnerable youth in our community. And we really brought people together, including gun owners and people who are strong supporters of the Second Amendment, as I am, and said, how do we address this? So it's not only about gun regulation, clearly. It is about gun safety and supporting efforts around safe storage and things like that that I think help bridge that gap in the suicide area from when that thought comes into someone's mind and that 5 or 10 minutes until they actually go through with it. And if we can create barriers for that, even this is around safety of firearms, which is something that responsible gun owners really support and people in the community, then that's a good place to start. And we've done some action on that here in Utah. And I think on the federal level, we want to be very careful that we continue to support the Second Amendment, like we do all of the tenets of the Constitution. But also top of mind has to be how we address mental health in these situations and the warning signs, like in the situation with Buffalo. This was in some ways not a surprise. This individual was certainly known to people in law enforcement long before this happened the other day.
It does seem that almost every time we hear something like this, that there were warning signs. It also seems that almost every time that the shooter gets their gun through legal means. Mm-hmm. So is this a societal problem where we need to look at this? I was looking at the CDC numbers from the last year that they've released, and gun deaths were up by 35%. So is this a community problem? Is it, what kind of overall problem is it? Or is it just one of those things we've got to deal with on a human by human basis and try to fix and make sure that people aren't left alone or get to the point where they feel like this is something that is a good decision?
I think it's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of understanding why people get to this situation. And again, suicide is certainly a big part of this, but it also is, you know, violence against others is another big piece of this as well. Mental health, how do we talk to each other? Mm-hmm. And this is where really leadership does matter, and the type of dialogue that we engage in, even as political leaders, it matters, makes a difference. And I think it's going to require all of us. This includes community members, elected officials, people in the community, and neighbor to neighbor, family to family, making an effort.
Before we move on, this shooting seems to be race-based, and that they were specifically going mm-hmm. after a black community. There's a lot of talk online on social media right now that our country thrives on white supremacy and we're a hateful country. Do you believe that to be the overarching problem here, or are these just a few bad apples that we've got to pick out?
I think more than anything, we are a country that is based on some of the principles around inclusivity and being a country that's welcome to new ideas and people with different races, ethnicities, backgrounds, sexual orientation. We're a country that does embrace all of that. We do have reactions mm-hmm. And circumstances that are outliers. And I'm happy to say I believe that this is more of an outlier situation. But as a community and as a country, and certainly here in Utah, when we see this kind of speech and hate speech and rhetoric that rises to the level of being dangerous, we need to call it out when we see it, and we need to address it and be honest about it. We have to.
Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about inflation. It seems like everyone I talk to, that seems to be top of mind, whether you're talking about housing prices or how much we're spending at the grocery store or the gas pump. What do you believe you can personally do, if elected, to maybe inch us in the right direction? Because it seems like this is not a problem that's going to go away overnight.
I don't think it is a problem. It didn't come on overnight, and it's not going to go away overnight. And all of us are feeling this, you know, at the gas pump, at the grocery store. We're all seeing this, and it's impacting how we live and how we spend our money. The end of the day, Congress has some amount of responsibility here, because they're not being fiscally responsible with spending. And we've seen for far too long this divisive nature of Congress be really impactful in setting aside some of these tenets that I believe all Americans believe in. If we don't have it, let's not spend it. Let's make sure that the dollars we are spending as a country are going to things that are gonna make a difference, that matter, and we're efficient and effective. And those are conversations at the end of the day that carry a special significance for members of Congress. They hold the purse strings, mm-hmm. we expect better, and when they are so divisive and those conversations don't take place, and they are hard, then it's leaving Americans behind and Utahns behind, and we're seeing this type of inflation that's higher than we've seen in the past 40 years. We can do better.
Yeah. Oftentimes I see national and locally people getting mad at Senator Mike Lee, who you're running against right now, because he'll vote against a massive spending bill. And let's say recently there was a massive spending bill and they hooked some Ukraine aid to it. Because he was against the larger spending bill because of the spending problem, he voted against what is a popular thing to vote for aid for Ukraine right now. What do you do in that situation?
Well, I think long before you get to the place where you're voting for the bill, you make your principles known. You're engaged in the formation of the legislation, you're engaged in those conversations, you're at the table where that's happening long before it comes to the vote. And at the end of the day, a no vote is not useful in advancing anything. It doesn't advance fiscal responsibility, it doesn't advance the Ukrainian aid that in this case we know is so important. It's incredibly important for the United States right now to be a strong member of NATO and to form an alliance in a very real way, financial alliance with our allies and partners in NATO to provide humanitarian aid, as well as the necessary military services that and equipment that they need to really bolster themselves and defend themselves against this egregious authoritarian regime who is attacking a sovereign nation. And it will not stop with Russia. It will not stop with Ukraine. We know that it will continue and go on and on. It's incredibly important that we support the people of Ukraine. And I'm, on behalf of the people of Ukraine, I'm very disappointed to see that vote from Senator Lee.
So you think that if you were in his position, you would have voted for that and just taken the extra money added to the budget that otherwise may not have needed to be there?
Well, I think, as I said, I think you participate in those conversations and you create an environment where things don't feel like they have to be all lumped together in order to get something done. And it's everything and, you know, the kitchen sink. And in some cases right now, we're seeing five kitchen sinks.
Yep, the way Congress does business these days. And I think a lot of people hope that will change. Roe versus Wade, a big issue right now. I don't think a lot of people thought we'd be talking about this before the election, but we had the leaked, not even decision. It was a pre-decision.
A
we could call it a draft. Yes. Where do you stand on the issue? Are you, what are you hoping to see from the Supreme Court?
Boy, I think like all Americans, we were all surprised, weren't we, when we saw that draft and thought, This is unprecedented. We've never seen this kind of thing before.
Does it hurt our country?
I believe it's concerning, especially around an issue that is so important and sensitive and deserves nuance to women and families across this country who experience abuse and trauma and pregnancy loss. This is deeply concerning. And I think about the impact if this decision is overturned. What does it mean for women going through IVF? What does it mean for people experiencing miscarriages? What does it mean for people in many other circumstances? The sort of unintended consequences of a reversal, I have deep concern, because on a one-on-one basis, these are women in terrible situations, some of the most horrific things that a woman can experience. And what I want to see in our United States Senate and our Congress are people who are thoughtful and measured and judicious about these kinds of decisions that impact women and families across the country. And that's what we need more of. We need more of that type of approach as opposed to a knee-jerk reaction that does not move forward in a sensitive and nuanced way something that's this important.
So does Roe v. Wade stand in your mind, or should it go to states to make up the decision?
I think what we have right now under Roe v. Wade, I see no compelling reason to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I also support states having their own interpretation of this, as we already do. And we know that states across the country are doing that.
A lot of voters probably here in the state of Utah might take issue with your stand on that. Earlier, I think a few weeks ago, Ali Isom, who's also running against you, asked for you to drop out of the race, saying that you were too far left of the spectrum to be elected. Do you believe that one or the other of you should be dropping out because it's creating too much competition where it just makes it easier for Senator Mike Lee to be reelected?
Absolutely not. The reality is that all three of us, Mike, Ali, myself, we all earned a spot fair and square on the Republican primary ballot. And I support that. I have a strong belief that public dialogue of ideas is healthy. It's good for us. It's good to have these kinds of discussions and bring this to the public square. And I think we've seen an incredible amount of engagement, certainly in our campaign, since I announced nearly a year ago. So it's been fun to see the momentum and movement grow around our campaign. What I can tell you is that we are confident in our message. We're confident in our vision. And we're prepared to realize a path to victory, regardless of who else is in the race. And especially because I served for 10 years as a Republican from Davis County, a solidly Republican district. I had five elections, three Republican primaries. And so I understand what it means to be a measured, pragmatic person who gets things done on behalf of the people who have elected you. And it's that mindset and that skill set, I think, that I'm hearing from people across the state. They want to see more of in the United States Senate.
People, I think, are hoping to hear from the debates, too. There's been a lot of talk over the last week or so what would happen. Do you support the concept of the GOP holding their own debates? Is there good reason for that?
You know, I take opportunities as they come, and I welcome the opportunity to participate in the Utah Debate Commission's debate. I hope Senator Lee can find time to attend that one. And the Republican Party, absolutely. It's a Republican primary. They want to hold their own debate. We'll be there, and I look forward to sharing, again, our vision and our message with the voters of Utah.
So who is committed right now to the GOP debate? Are all three of you committed
to
that?
All three of us will be there. That will be on June 1st, and that should be a great debate. They'll have their moderators and their questions, and then the Independent Utah Debate Commission, that will be televised, and that's on June 2nd. So in a way, this is just another opportunity for the voters of Utah in a way that we have not seen. Like I say, the level of engagement around this race is really unprecedented. It's exciting, and it's good for us. It's good for democracy. It's good for the people of Utah, and I really appreciate the support that we have had and realized from across the state and our volunteers and the people who are sharing our vision for a more productive, proactive, and inclusive leader in the United States Senate.
Certainly a high bar that all of the Republican candidates met by getting those 28,000 signatures. Before I let you go, Evan McMullen will be in the race. Whoever wins in the primary will face Evan McMullen. Do you like the idea that he's running as an independent? Do you believe he's one of you as the Republicans, or should Kel Weston be the competition?
I leave those discussions to the Utah Democratic Party and those delegates at their state convention. All I know is right now our number one focus is on the June Republican primary on June 28th, ballots dropping in about 3 weeks, and taking our message to the voters of Utah. I appreciate the support, and looking forward to bringing better leadership to the state of Utah.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for joining us for this extra edition of Take Two. If people want more information, where do they go to hear about you?
Our website is Becky4Utah, F-O-R Utah, and we're on all the social media, so join us. We'd love to have you follow us and see what we're doing around the state, and all of the social medias, we are at Becky4Utah.
Very good. It's fun to be a part of the conversation. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.